You're listening to KCBX Central Coast Public Radio here on NPR One. With KCBX News, I'm Greta Marr. Where does the Central Coast get its water, our most fundamental of needs? Some comes in the form of rain filling up local reservoirs, some from the State Water Project, a long system of pipes and canals that carry melted snow from the Sierra Nevada mountains, and a significant amount comes from underground, pumped up via wells. Until just 4 years ago, groundwater was totally unregulated in California, but extended droughts made it clear that Californians need to figure out how to manage the underground water supply. In 2014, state lawmakers passed the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act, or SGMA. It changed everything about how groundwater will be used in the future, but will it work? Jeremy P. Jacobs is a reporter for E&E News. That's a nonpartisan news service based in Washington, D.C. Jacobs is one of the news service's California-based reporters. He recently took a close look at the Cuyama Valley on the Central Coast. Jacobs wrote about what he found in an article that appeared in Greenwire, a publication of E&E News. His was part of a series called When the Wells Run Dry. KCBX News spoke with Jacobs about his reporting in the Cuyama Valley. I started out by asking him how he got interested in groundwater and in that particular place.
So I came to the story looking at groundwater issues in California. Groundwater has long been a source of water in California that is abused, overused. And it took basically 100 years for the state to pass its first law trying to regulate groundwater in any way. Until 2014, when the Sustainable Groundwater Management Act was passed, there was no regulation of groundwater, meaning if you had property, you could drill a well and pump to your heart's content. And many farmers did that. Municipalities did that. It was pretty common practice. So what I've been trying to do is look at how this 2014 law is being implemented. And I came to the Cuyama Valley because it is an isolated valley, you know, east of Santa Maria, that has a lot of the problems that are endemic around the state with regard to groundwater. And under this new law, these critically overdrafted basins, I should say, has to set up these new agencies called groundwater sustainability agencies. These are brand new agencies. They are left to these local authorities to set up, and then these agencies have to come up with some sort of sustainability plan to bring their basin into a sustainable management level over the next 20 years. So in Cuyama, what I found was a largely inexperienced GSA, or Groundwater Sustainability Agency, and one that is largely controlled by the same agricultural interests that caused the aquifer there to be overdrafted.
When you started out in your reporting, had other people already looked at the Cuyama Valley? I mean, is it going smoothly there, coming up with a management plan?
Not exactly. And, you know, it's almost, there's always discussion of local politics that don't get the scrutiny they deserve. And this is even kind of an even more hyper local form of politics. And, you know, Cuyama is isolated, it's remote. So there's no one really looking at things here. Even less people looking at this than, say, in the San Joaquin Valley, where things are more complex, it's bigger, water moves around more in many different ways there. But, you know, in Cuyama, there's just no one really watching. I should say that under the groundwater law, the state is sort of a backstop, meaning this agency will submit a plan by January 31st of 2020. If it is insufficient, the state can come in, will not approve it. It can come in and make changes. And I talked to some people involved in the GSA in Cuyama who said that they already anticipate that having to happen. So, which of course starts raising questions about whether this is going to happen throughout the state. And if it does, if the state has to come in a lot of these critically overdrafted basins, what does that say about the how effective the law is, or how well the law is working?
Can you describe the Cuyama Valley physically for us?
The valley is sort of divided in two by a fault called the Russell Fault. West of the Russell Fault has historically been sort of left alone and been dry range land. That changed pretty dramatically in 2014, and I'll get to that in just a second. But the east end of the valley has been heavily farmed. The largest carrot grower in the world, Grimway Farms, has been there for decades. Basically, since the 70s and early 80s, it's been home to an industrial agricultural production, almost all of which is by companies based in Bakersfield and elsewhere. In 2014, it changed because the west end of the valley changed because Harvard's endowment fund spent millions of dollars buying up land and installing 850 acres of a conventional vineyard that you can't miss driving through the valley because you drive right through it on the two-lane highway. And so that has heightened concerns among the residents in that west end of the valley that the 14 wells that Harvard has drilled will affect their groundwater supplies.
Tell me about groundwater science and how people are going to figure out the amount and location of water underground.
This kind of gets to a major issue or challenge with the implementation of this law. Groundwater is hard to quantify. It's hard to see how, because it's underground, you can't see how it moves. You can't necessarily see how much is being recharged. It is a very difficult thing to measure and model. So, for example, the Harvard property and its managers contend that where their vineyard is being grown is its own pocket of groundwater that is walled off from the rest of the basin and the rest of the valley by some faults and other natural features. No one's really studied that except for Harvard's company. So it will be up to this new agency to either to somehow verify those claims. But this is an issue that will come up all across the state in terms of validating and verifying groundwater data. And many people that have wells and that are pumping are hesitant to turn over their well logs and data because they view it as proprietary information. So this is sort of a rub that is going to come up across the state.
Does everybody agree on standards for groundwater science? Who are the experts in the field?
There are some large consulting firms that will be hired by these GSAs throughout the state. In Cuyama, it's a company called Woodard & Kern. It's a huge consulting company. And you know, typically, as far as governmental science goes, the state agency, the Department of Water Resources, and the U.S. Geological Survey are sort of kind of held in high regard. But because of its location and how isolated it is, Cuyama really hasn't been studied very much. Even the USGS studies that I discussed in the story, they only really looked at part of the valley. The amount of data they were able to get was limited. So these are questions that all these agencies have to deal with, and is one of the reasons why they were given till January 31st of 2020, which is, you know, almost 6 years after the law was passed, and then they have 20 years to achieve sustainability. So when the law was passed, there was criticism that these timelines and deadlines were too long. But it, at least in terms of this first plan, there was just so much that has to be done to understand the mechanics of a basin and the science of a basin that I think that 2020 deadline is not very long or not very far out.
In your story, you interviewed Santa Barbara County Supervisor Doss Williams. How is he involved in this story?
Yeah, so Doss Williams is a Santa Barbara County Supervisor, represents Cuyama. Previously, he was in the state legislature. In fact, he was in the state legislature when the sustainability law was passed and was a proponent of the law in part or in large part because of this valley. So he has now become Santa Barbara County Supervisor. He sits on the GSA board, and you know, he was forthcoming in saying that he doesn't think it's working, or at least he doesn't think that the GSA board has been working as he's seen so far, I guess is the best to say. I mean, I can read a quote he had in my story, and he said, "The fact that the law has gotten us together on one board won't necessarily accomplish its goals if every decision that gets made is simply the landowners overturning the will of the voters as a whole. And then he said the votes that have taken place so on substantive issues thus far have been the large landowners rolling us.
And so finally, what was your biggest takeaway in reporting this story?
I think the big takeaway for me, and what I tried to portray in the story, was that this small isolated valley with a very low with very few people, but with big agricultural players and big deep-pocketed players like Harvard's endowment fund, how it illustrates a lot of the issues that these groundwater agencies have to cope with across the state in implementing this law, and that it raises questions. It raises questions about how effective the law will be, and it raises questions about just whether the law will work. Depending on the year, groundwater makes up 30 to 60% of the water Californians use in a year, depending on how much rain and snowfall there's been. So I think it's something that needs to be closely watched, and the management of that resource, I think, should be important to your listeners and everyone else in the state.
That was Jeremy Jacobs, a California-based reporter for E&E News. That's a nonpartisan news service based in Washington, D.C. With KCBX News, I'm Greta Mart.